League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, listener, and welcome to another episode of Injury Time India, your one-stop shop for everything for the beautiful game in this country. Joining us from Bangalore is Sandeep. Hey, Sandeep.
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing really well, man. And also joining us on this episode is Akarsh Sharma from Delhi. Keeping you still chilly, right, Akarsh?
It's very chilly. I can't even move out of my room.
Well, at least we get you on this channel on Zoom so that we can talk a lot about Indian football. Let's just dive right into it because there's a lot to discuss today. We'll go team by team, the 11 teams. So let's just discuss each team, starting with the champions, ATK, Mohun Bagan, or can I call them the champions since it's a merger and it's a new entity altogether? Akarsh?
You can't. Officially, you can't. Unofficially, okay. You can. Yeah, against Mumbai, it was a clash of styles. A complete clash of styles and a very, very top of the table clash feeling. Mm-hmm. And but Habas was up to his old tricks again. He had zero shots attempted in the first half. It's such a calculated way of playing. It is both frustrating to watch but also admirable to watch how drilled they are. And in general, interestingly, he's preferring Prabir now over Manvir. Again, to shore up the right side. And I think against Mumbai also, he tried that. Because Mumbai's left flank in general flies really well.
Right.
Ironically, when he tried that, I think Mumbai still went on and scored the winner.
Right.
But it's an interesting time for Habas also. Because a lot of the teams are now a little more familiar with what he's trying to do. A little more, maybe, attacking as well. Today, Goa, I thought, did really well in the end. They conceded from a free kick, which they shouldn't have, which was very poor goalkeeping.
Right.
But I think Goa could have easily won this match.
Well, in the dying minutes, they could have eked out a winner there, right?
They should have. They probably should have. But it was very interesting. It's also interesting to see the psyche of the matches against Mohun Bagan. Once a side like Goa or Mumbai tend to go after them, it is a bit of a struggle for Bagan to cling on to that clean sheet. But otherwise, if you want to settle for it, they will nick a goal or two. So if the opponent is like okay fine, we are also going to sort of be a little cautious, then more likely than not. Mm-hmm. Eventually, Mohun Bagan will get their goal. So it's a very weird way of playing against them.
Right. Sandeep, let me get this to you. This pragmatic approach that Habas is so familiar for now in the ISL, is this doing more good? Is this doing more harm than good to ATK Mohun Bagan, given that the table topper will get that AFC Champions League slot?
Look, defenses win you the league. That's what they say, right? Attackers win you games, defenses win you leagues. So as long as you have most number of clean sheets, you can't lose those games. Now, like if I look at a team like Goa, who also is trying to find the right spot for them in the table, which is becoming very, very difficult as it is. Mm-hmm. They will only start playing once they go a goal down. Mm-hmm. Isn't so? In that sense, it's better to have a team who does not go a goal down at all in the first place, if you ask me. And Mumbai at some point it's strange, no? Because Mumbai spent so much money. I think probably more than Bagan this year. So the chances of them finishing on the top of the table is higher. That way it makes sense. But why would you change your winning philosophy after? That's what I would ask.
No, I agree with the... Okay, can I just butt in here?
Go ahead.
What Naveen is trying to say, that... If Bagan keep playing their style of play and Mumbai keep playing their style of play, there is a higher chance that Mumbai will win more matches than Bagan. Right, Naveen? That's what you're trying to say.
Because looking at the table right now, Mumbai lead for obvious reasons because they have won more matches. 8-6 between Mumbai and Mohun Bagan. And the goal difference too, it's 13-6. So even, and the head-to-head, it's in Mumbai's favor now. So even all by all the permutation and combinations, if they are to finish on same points, Mumbai will nick that top spot and take the Champions League slot.
Last season also, even with Abbas's style, Goa still finished 5 points clear, right? Which again comes with the same sort of theory that playing a Lobera, which can be either Goa or Mumbai, playing a Lobera style of football is more likely to get you the league top position. But probably Abbas's way of playing probably will win you the ISL trophy in the playoffs. So it's a weird trade-off right now.
So you have to ask, what do you want from your team? Like, do you want to play the FC Cup and make all that money that you make by winning the ISL? Or go for the Champions League, where more often than not, you're going to get knocked out in the first round itself. Maybe you will get some, you know, prestige value and things like that.
And maybe also some money.
Not so much. I was saying,
yeah, not so much, but some
not
money.
So much, yeah. It's not, I mean, it's hardly anything. It's not really much of a difference in terms of how much money they would make. Hmm. It's nice to play the Champions League. You can say that I played the Champions League, but beyond that, no.
Well, that about how ATK Mohun Bagan are going. But what about Goa? No Lobera there. One for Rando this time round.
Can we also discuss the underlying how do you say commotion within the Bagan fans due to the use of the third black jersey?
Well, that is something that I have not grasped completely. Mohun Bagan never not playing in their red and maroon so far.
They have,
but suddenly I'll tell you what happened.
Okay, go ahead.
When ATK Mohun Bagan started, they released two
jerseys,
which was in the Mohun Bagan colors. Mm-hmm. Just sort of. I think it's a brighter maroon than usual. But basically, this is what they did. Now, they suddenly in one match, a couple of matches ago, I forgot against who, they brought in their black jersey. Which is pretty much exactly ATK's jersey from previous seasons. Mm-hmm. And this was completely blind. And everybody was completely blindsided by this. Nobody know. There was no announcement of this third jersey. There was nothing. It was pretty much a game from the management wherein they caught the fans off guard. And although there was a lot of anger on social media and elsewhere, they have stuck to this jersey again today against Goa. And it is essentially Goenka's way of saying that I still own the club, that I call the shots. Because from what I hear is that the league forced him to adopt Mohun Bagan's colors and the crest and everything, that he was not allowed to change them. So the name ATK is all he had. This is pretty much all he had. That the name ATK in ATK Mohun Bagan was his team, that those three letters.
And he sort the whole of, team.
Huh. And the whole team, of course. Yeah, that's a funny story. That's a different story altogether. But he really wanted to sort of keep something to himself, is basically what his game was. And this black
ask
jersey.
You something.
Yeah.
Like, if you were an owner, right, and you bought a club with so much history and even independence, pre-independence and all that kind of things attached to it, you bought a club. Would you rather capitalize on that fan base and that history and merge your club with theirs, or bring their club under your wing and brand it as a different entity? How would you do it?
No, I would pretty much do it the way they've done it right now. If Goenka really loved Mohun Bagan or whatever he claims to be, I don't know if he claims to be a fan, but there was some sort of public statements out there. He would have stuck to just Mohun Bagan, to be honest. ATK is a pointless entity. It doesn't even stand for anything. It is three letters which do not have a full form. So I don't know what ATK was, and I've always been against ATK, the existence of ATK, because this was always the end game for ATK. And they're actually just prolonging the term. For me, I think 3-4 years down the line, this will just become Mohun Bagan and not ATK Mohun Bagan. Let's see how it pans out. But I don't know what ATK stands for. It was already a failed thing because it was called Atletico de Kolkata and Atletico Madrid went away. So it was already a poor decision to associate an entire club with another club, which was based on just a contract. So once they left, you were left with nothing. You had to change the entire name of the club.
It's Amar Tomar Kolkata, dude.
It's not. That's the unofficial thing.
It's
that would have been even more fun.
Yeah,
exactly, right?
Like right now, it's no one's Kolkata. Well, but the fans have gone gaga over it on social media with prominent names, which all of us are aware of, just not budging.
And I agree with you. I agree with them. If you ask a Bagan fan today, and they'll probably confide in you and tell you that even if ATK Mohan Bagan wins the ISL, tops the league, wins the trophy, the last season I-League trophy will still mean more to them than this one. It's just how it is. There's no connect with this team right now.
And from the management part, they aren't doing much to build on that connect or to have a connect.
No, I don't think so. They're actually probably doing things the opposite way right now.
Yeah, just hampering all the relation, like somewhat relation that they have. Well, I think...
I mean, the distance doesn't help also, I think. Especially this year, there is a... I feel like there is a proper disconnect between the club and its fan base. Because as much as you try to put your digital membership and try to get them on social media and things, if you don't have mass-going fans who week in, week out feel the angst and the pain and the happiness and the elation and all these things with the club, it just doesn't feel the same. Like, Carla is leaving.
Yeah, but Sandeep, isn't that the case with every single team this season?
Yeah, exactly. So it's difficult. I mean, I agree with Akarish. Like, there are a couple of fans who I spoke to who said even if they win this year, the I-League title would mean a lot more that they won last year. Yeah, so that part is absolutely true. But maybe once, if they start playing at the Salt Lake Stadium or if they start playing back with the local leagues and things like that, maybe then there will be more of a fan interaction and maybe they can build up on that. Now, I wouldn't bet my house on the fact that they will try and build a relationship with the fans.
Please this, don't.
Yeah, but at the same time, they'll have to do something, right? Otherwise, it'll just be a shell of a club and eventually die down because the fans... Maybe the next generation of fans will not have the same connect. And they'll just move on to, like, say, Mohammedan Sporting or some other team that's going to come up. Who knows? East Bengal, yeah. All these teams. Like.
Well, given the...
East Bengal has done it, moved up very well. They didn't merge or anything. They had a change in management or addition of people to their management side. Right. But they still retain that identity and the colors and all these kind of things.
Well, like Sandeep said, the transition for East Bengal was much more smoother because getting a sponsor for the team on board and then getting into the ISL, things were still more or less in the control of the way the club management expected. Changes is something that FC Goa also requires, is what I think. A 3-0 win against Jamshedpur was followed by today's draw to ATK Mohan Bagan. Surprising that Angulo did not play this game, Sandeep.
Yes, it's surprising that Angulo didn't play. I just feel, when I look at the team, right, it seems like Fernando is building up to something because Nawaz is no longer there. We heard that, we got to know over the week that Dheeraj was signed.
Right.
Now, Nawaz's contract expires at the end of the season. So, probably looking to move him on. That's a question there. Are they already bringing in Dheeraj to, you know, fill that slot? It looks that way to me. Mm-hmm. Then Angulo being dropped in the last two things. And I think this is something that we have spoken about. And I think Akarsh touched on this last season, last episode as well. Is that Angulo is not a Koro. He's not going to provide you. He's not going to let people play off him. He's not going to let be part of that, you know, build up and things like that. He's a finisher. And when Goa is trying to play the way they want to play, it seems like Ortiz is a better option. Maybe he's not as clinical, but at the same time, he provides a vertical penetration with the ball. He takes the gamble, you know, to crosses and all those kind of things sometimes. So for the club, for the team to play as the way Fernando wants to play, maybe not having Angulo would be the... It's crazy that I'm saying this even, but to not have Angulo may be the ideal way to go and bring him on as an impact substitute. It just feels that way because to drop him for a game as big as the Mohan Bagan game against Jamshedpur also, it's quite a big call from a coach whose team is not clicking. That's the most important thing. It's not like he's resting him while the team is just cruising. The team is still not clicked yet and he's just trying different things out. and maybe this is something he stumbled upon.
I don't agree with the fact that Angulo is being benched without any reason. I mean, if he's fit and he's being benched. I don't know if it's true, because Fernando at least came out in the last match and said he was ill for a few days, Angulo, right? The thing I keep seeing in Goa is to play Angulo and Ortiz and Nogueira and Edu Bedia, right? All four of them. He has to basically play one center back as an Indian, right? He has to play one Indian center back. And the last time he did that was when Bright basically danced his way through the Goan defense, right? But I see, I understand what Sandeep said, that Angulo's contribution aside from goals was a little less than what Koro would have ideally been. And Ortiz is some player, to be honest. Ortiz is probably my favorite player in that team right now. He has such a vast, he's such a varied way of doing things. He can do everything right now, to be honest. And Goa were pretty good against Jamshedpur, and I thought they were pretty good against Bagan as well. So it's an interesting strategy. I don't know what's happening with Nawaz, to be honest. I thought he was doing decently well, but yes, his height is still a problem, and perhaps that would have been an issue against teams. And Naveen has done pretty well, to be honest. He's except for conceding today's goal, he pulled off some incredible saves against Jamshedpur, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what is in Fernando's mind, but I think it stems from him wanting to really use his two foreign centre backs.
Yeah.
Which basically means he cannot play his foursome in attack. So
well,
I think that's that.
So I think with Nawaz's situation, this contract is a major thing, I feel. Like you said, Naveen has done a very good job. Although not as good as our Naveen. But nevertheless, he's done a very good job. But I think Nawaz's contract in 6 months is going to be a big talking point, because they will have to, if he is not going to re-sign, they will have to face him out and get the next ducks in the, you know, next people in line. And Goa is a team who likes to get their ducks in the row, because they've always ensured that, you know, there is a right replacement. I'm not saying the perfect replacement, but a right replacement for them going forward. So there might be something along those lines there in terms of goalkeeping change that's happened.
And could be a reason why Dheeraj has come in. He could have a really good chance of having some game time under his belt in Goa.
Yeah, he has to improve his footwork. But yeah, let's hope he can, because he came with a lot of hype.
As long as he can throw a ball 3/4 of the pitch and the 20,000 people can cheer, it'll be fine in India.
Just about it. Well, Nawaz moving on, there are rumors he might go to Hyderabad. There are talks about that. And then also Mumbai also looks like a likely option. But too early to say any on that, because he's still in the season. There's six more months going into his contract. Let's move on with this episode. Moving on to the next team in our talking points. Mumbai City FC, guys. Win over ADK Mohanbagan. Then a goalless draw against Hyderabad. To me, it looked like Hyderabad came up with a plan and it worked out really well. Is this the blueprint that other teams can take away from this when it comes to playing against a team like Mumbai? Sandeep?
Look, I am a big fan of Hyderabad, and I never thought I'd be saying this when the season started. But they are a very, very well-coached team. Like that, Manolo Marquez has done an excellent job in maintaining the fact that the team is drilled well. Like Chinglang Sena has been excellent. Their wing backs have been, full backs, I should say, have been excellent. It seems to me that they just found a team that is ready to play as a team. And this is interesting. Okay, I was just thinking about this earlier. They have found some really good players in that system. Now, over the next year, we'll see a lot of them leave that team. I feel like at least one or two of them will leave. Let's say someone among Yasir or Ashish Rai or Akash Mishra or Liston also, for that matter. Can they go somewhere else and be successful is something that I don't know. Because more and more I think about it, I think of Nishu as an example. Although injuries have not helped him, he was... The team BFC build was built to his strength. And when he is put in a situation where he has to play with a backline that is not really playing to his strength, he's getting a little found out. Again, injuries are not helping him at all. But he is not the same player that we saw last year at BFC. So I'm just wondering, this is absolutely out of nowhere, whether these people, the players here who have done really well this year will probably get a move to a bigger club or for more money to a different club and may not be able to replicate it. Because I just feel like the way the coach has set up the team tactically, he's spot on. Like, he does a very, very good job.
Well, a really tactically sound coach there, Sandeep. You spoke about your love for Hyderabad and the way they have played. But Akarsh, what about Mumbai? Is this what we could see from Mumbai's oppositions going ahead, the way Hyderabad played in that match?
They can try, but I think Hyderabad is too good a coach team for others to replicate. This fixture also came after 8 days of rest for Hyderabad, I believe. So they were actually very well drilled, because they had time as well to focus on Mumbai's strengths and how to nullify them. And some of the thoughts here, credit to Shlok, because I was discussing it with him while I missed most of the match as well. But Ashish Rai played a blinder, and which was most important because Mumbai's left flank is incredible. Also, there was no Bumu. So that is one thing that will always sort of favor the opponents, similar to how, I know, not as bad as a Crivellaro missing for Chennaiyan, but Bumu is still Bumu. He was missing. And in general, I think Hyderabad have shown such good flexibility in terms of when they want to attack, when they want to play adventurers, and when they want to sit back. I'm a big fan of that coach. So Manolo is somebody I can listen to all day as well from a press conference point of view. These are the kind of coaches you want in Indian football. Not somebody who's just going to phrase it in a very generic manner. Oh, my opponents will be tough. Oh, they deserve more points. Oh, they'll play compact. It'll be a tough game, etc. So he doesn't say these things. And he's very good. He does a very nice analysis of what actually happened in a match. And I think 0-0 was a fair result that day. And I don't think this is a big problem for Mumbai. They're still 5 points ahead. It's I think they're far favourites to finish top of the league.
Yeah, way too ahead for the chasing pack. But Crivellaro, Akarsh, you spoke about Chennai and FC. Two matches against Odisha in the past week. One ending in a goalless draw. Another one, they winning with a 1-2 margin. Where do you see Chennai going on from here?
It entirely depends on the new signing, Lanzarote. If he can produce even 75% of what Crivellaro does for Chennai, then they'll be in a good position to again push for top four places. But I don't see them going to the top four this time. They can't keep pulling off these late runs, late second half of the season runs to get into the top four. I think this time their luck has run out. And in fact, today's fixture will tell us a lot about where Chennai and East Bengal's ambitions lie.
Well, Chennai and East Bengal's ambitions, we'll get to East Bengal in a while. But before that, Sandeep, Kerala Blasters FC, three matches in the past 1 week. A loss to Odisha, 2-4 result. A win against Jamshedpur, 3-2. And then a draw against East Bengal. A match which I thought they could have gone on to win.
Yeah, so can I just want to add something to what Akarsh was saying about Chennai. I'm a big fan of the coach, like Akarsh said about Manolo Marquez. Sabal Asla is also excellent in terms of setting his team up. Tactically, he's almost always spot on. But he is missing the right individuals in that team, which makes me feel like they're not going to go for the top four. Like, again, agreeing with Akarsh there. Because if you look at the similarity, there is a lot of similarities between Hyderabad and Chennai in the way the coaches are and the way they talk and the way they think about football and how they tactically astute they are. But what Aridane provides and KNAC assists is so much more than what Yakub Silvestre provides for Chennai. Because even Aridane, while he scores goals, he does a lot more. And Yakub Silvestre does a lot more, but he's not at the same level as an Aridane. So probably that's what they're missing in terms of someone who can help the younger ones around him to get better and also be a major, major factor in deciding games. So that is one thing I want to add. Coming to Kerala, I'll be very honest, I didn't see their last couple of games. So just saw the highlights a little bit here and there. But yeah, I mean, Odisha game was a little surprising because it just, I don't know, it just felt like they just collapsed into into themselves, like, you know, as if they were going into a black hole and everything just collapsed into themselves. But since then, they should have seen out that game against East Bengal. But when they scored, I was not very surprised either, because you sort of expect Kerala's defense to make some, not be able to keep a clean sheet one way or another, because it just feels, I don't know, that team really confuses me.
Well, Akash, this is something that you have also concurred with in the past, a team that is as confusing as it is off the pitch that it is on the pitch.
Yeah, but it's been different in the recent matches.
Okay.
Ibu has finally found a way to play Hooper and Murray together. And when he did that against Jamshedpur, they were really good. Except they missed some dollies. Like, they missed some very easy chances. Murray especially just blazed over the bar time and again. Even Hooper, although that particular chance was slightly behind him. But these two connected really well. And that was a huge positive. And the only reason I think that they were broken up that game was because Ruwathara was red-carded. So basically, one of them had to be sacrificed. And even then, Hooper was sacrificed, but Murray went on to win the game for Kerala. Although it was a huge gift by TP Ranesh, two of the goals. But it's a very interesting dynamic right now for Kerala. Even against East Bengal, they should have seen it off. It was a decent performance. And it was a tight game. And eventually they lost out because of a very silly, silly clearance by Rahul KP, which should have gone for a throw-in. And he conceded a corner in the last minute of stoppage time. And they paid the price for it. But in a way, what Sandeep was talking about, the 4-2 wala game Odisha FC against, that I think that had an all-Indian defense, first of all, which was still doing decent. But then Nishu Kumar got injured at halftime and Kone had to come for him. And Kone is this, I don't understand, because I thought Kone would be a great signing. I thought it was a very smart signing. But Kone is really slow. Like right now, Indians are preferred over Kone, and Costa is the one who gets the nod over Kone, even if Ibu has to play one foreign centre-back. So that particular game, it was just after Nishu went off, Diego basically ran ragged out on the left flank. So that was unlucky for Kibu. And Let's see where it goes. Right now, hopefully Kibu Vicuña will get some time in Kerala. Hopefully he'll be there next season as well. I've reached a point where I feel really sad for Kerala fans, and I think this is the biggest failure and biggest egg on FSDL and ISL's faces. Kerala could have been so much more. Kerala should have been the number one club in ISL by far. Like, the potential is so huge and it's been so messed up. Like, I really feel bad for the fans right now.
There's something that you have also spoken about in the past, where it's a huge market and it's a thriving market. All you have to do is to put together a good team.
Yeah, because you have a good stadium. You have great fan base. At some point, the management has to cop a lot of blames. Now, we've had situations where, you know, Michael Chopra has questioned certain illicit signings and how all the back, you know, money exchanges hands and how the signings are all gone and things. So nothing is proven or anything of that sort. But at some point, you have to question the signings that they're doing and what the management is doing in terms of getting the right team, the right personnel in. Every season, they get all the players and then at the end of the season, they release all the players and they start afresh. Like, it's not a computer that you can keep refreshing and things will run faster. That doesn't work in football, right? And look at the upside of that team. Anybody, you get a good management in place and ask them to plan for a 3-4 year period, that team is going to be really good. And Kerala fans are people who really enjoy good football. And if there is a progression that they can visually see and identify as this club is moving in a certain direction, is moving forward, they will back them. They won't be like in a situation where, look, David James had a terrible time there because the people could not see what they were trying to do. So, like Kibu Vicuña, we can see that he's trying to do certain things, but he doesn't have all the, like, you know, pieces to fix the jigsaw in the right way. Give him time, give him the players he needs, and back the coach. Don't hit the refresh button at the end of every season. if you didn't see a path, then why hire the coach in the first place? Like, I felt Elko Shettori deserved to stay there. Because although I'm not the biggest fan of Elko Shettori as such, the way he plays football and his social media antics and things, he had a plan and he was doing it. And he had a successful season the year before at Northeast United. So why not give him the chance? It's not like he absolutely failed. So that you had to change him and things like that. So I just feel like this club, the management has to take a lot of the blame here. Absolutely. Because who else are you going to point fingers at?
Well, management needs a lesson on patience being a virtue. Well, we can only hope that...
And signing people also, the right people, having a project in mind, like the simple things that you expect a club to have, which I think is a lot to ask for, especially in Indian football context.
BFC is starting their life under Naushad Musa Sandeep. They started with a loss against East Bengal and a draw against Northeast United FC. A match after which Gerard Moose, the Northeast United coach, was sacked. We'll get into it a bit later, but before Musa's time, how do you look at it?
He's steadying the ship. He's not going to change the fortunes of the club by any means. Especially now that they've lost Dimas also, who's gone flown back to Spain for some family emergency, which I'm not really sure what it is about, but Godspeed to him. But, he just has to see the whole season out. That's his job. And try and figure out if there are any youngsters in that team who can potentially, make a start in the next season and maybe help in the transition going forward. I personally don't expect him to change the fortunes of the clubs at all. It's just that club is, this year is like a sort of a return off for them. Maybe they can make a top four because other teams around them are inconsistent. But beyond that, I don't think there is much of a change. They look a little more adventurous. But beyond that, there is nothing much changing there. Unless they bring in some signings. They are bringing on Cisco, I think, who's coming back to the club.
Yes, his first
again. Again, we don't know how he's... Because Cisco was there before. He was not that great. But he went and became a big player last season with Odisha. You saw Deshaun Brown go and score a goal today with the Northeast United FC on his debut once he left this club. So there might be some incomings and outgoings. Are they going to replace Dimas or is Dimas going to come back? Because if he comes back, he has to be in quarantine for another two weeks. So there's a lot of moving parts in that club for them to fix it this season, I feel. But next year should be fine.
Well, next year, for all you know, we might see a new coach also coming in.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Akash, what about you? In the past episode, we discussed how Musa could hand more game time to youngsters in the side, and we saw people like Parag get a nod in the playing 11. Do you see that continuing in the remainder of the league for them?
I'm good, but it will continue. But I'm going to backtrack on what I said in the last pod.
All right.
I really thought BFC will push for top four and finish top four. Right now, I don't see that happening.
Okay.
I thought Dimas is one of the reasons, yes. But I thought Musa will also bring in a little bit of consistency and stability. I just sense that he'll stick to the basics in the sense that there'll be the same defense playing match on match, something like that. But for example, Khabra went to defensive midfield and it wasn't a very good performance. I still don't know what the point of Prateek Chaudhary at that club is. I know Musa is trying to blend in Parag and Ajit and even Namgyal also made a very horrific error and was not punished by Bright, although they lost that match eventually. The thing about Musa is, if you see him on screen, I understand that he's an Indian coach and he's probably not used to the limelight. He doesn't really inspire much confidence. If you had seen his interviews on the broadcast, he was essentially saying, first of all, his first interview was basically the right thing, some of the right things and some weird things. He said, we'll bring in more youngsters. I've had sleepless nights, right? So there's a lot of pressure. I've never felt this much pressure is what he said. He on broadcast, he said that when I stepped into the dressing room, the senior players helped me calm myself and blend in and something like that, something along those lines. This doesn't really inspire confidence. That's the interview where I thought, oh, okay, it's not going to happen this season is going to be written off for PFC. That's the moment I thought that I don't know where it is going to be. Maybe they're eventually going to rebuild for next season.
Well, guys, we spoke about stability that Musa could bring in, but one team that really needed stability this season is Northeast United FC, placed fifth on the points table as of now, but they end up sacking their coach Gerard Noose. Sandeep, luckily for injury time, we ended up speaking to him just before he got the sack, and the episode is out now. A really good chap to talk to, right, Sandeep?
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting on that episode for a while, so it's not like it happened right before.
But worked out for us.
Yeah, I mean, it was scary because I heard that he was on the fence and then I hurriedly put it out. I did not expect him to get the sack on the same day. But anyway, he is actually a good coach. He's a good guy to speak to, has a vision and all those kind of things. And he was, for the first time, right, after a long time, and barring the El Coshitori season, that you looked at Northeast and was like, okay, there is something happening here. They are not, just rolling around and just being, making up the numbers with 11 people just running around the field. But again, the management showed how, I don't know what the term is. Like, they just decided, okay, you know what, he has to go. Whatever it is, I hear it might be financial also for all, If it is financial, it's quite stupid because you didn't account for a coach's salary for the whole season and when you were making your plans. But I don't think that's the only reason, to be fair. But they got Khalid Jameel. He's the man. He's the man. Like, he is the one. For some reason, I feel whenever I look at Northeast, the way even under Gerard Noose, I was like, this is probably a very good Khalid Jameel team. And they proved to be a very good Khalid Jameel team because they won today. So in that sense, I think there is some sort of a continuity over there. But even there, like, it looks so weird, right? Khalid Jameel was there in the beginning as assistant coach. Then he was asked to leave. Then he was asked to come back. So look at how absolutely messed up that club is. Like, the way the management is dealing with the thing. And this is supposed to be the club that embodies the Northeast United FC, right? It's the Northeast, the place where more than half of the Indian footballers come from, the top good ones come from. And you're making a mockery of it. Like, again, like Kakar said about ISL and losing out on Kerala, this is another one that's they're making a mockery of the whole place.
Well, Akash, let me ask you this. Did this team ever look to you like a team that had a long-term plan in place? Because every single season, every single year, they come up with something new, which lasts for maximum a season or two. Then again, they are back to the drawing board and again, something new pops up.
I don't even think that this club will exist in the long term. So I don't really care whether they have a long term. To be frank, I think it's another one of those clubs that are just as a placeholder. They had to include something in the Northeast. So they did. And they clubbed I think it's an insult to the entire Northeast region that they can club the entire Northeast region into this one club. And I'm so sorry for the seven Northeast United fans who are listening to this pod. Right? But I also think there is a bit of one that there is a bit of a Nikolai Adams sort of situation that happened here. I don't know if you are aware of that in the under-17 World Cup team, which Novi Kapadia very nicely put out in another podcast. Yeah. Where what happens is that a foreign coach tries to do certain things their way. He rubs certain people the wrong way, certain Indian people, and they generally gang up together to get rid of him. I think that's what happened here. But here's a confession, and this is something I haven't really tweeted or I haven't really said out loud. I wasn't too impressed with Gerard Noose.
Okay.
The first matches were great, and he was finding ways to get, basically get out some sort of points. For example, in the first match, Mumbai dominated the game, but they were down to 10 men. That's why Northeast ended up winning. Apart from that, under Noose, what was their other victory? It was against East Bengal, another messy side, which was only their fourth match into the season. I don't know why Gerard Noose was so hell-bent on making so many changes. If I have to compare a very weird thing, how Pep Guardiola overthinks the Champions League matches? Sorry if some of the listeners don't know about European football, but Pep Guardiola is a manager who tends to overthink his Champions League knockout matches and makes so many changes and so many tactical tweaks that it ends up knocking his team out in a semi-final or a quarter-final. I don't understand why Gerard Noose had to make so many changes in every game. It's a bit ridiculous to see. His starting 11 changes since his second match was 2 changes, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 4, 5, 5. That's changing half the team in half the number of matches. And it wasn't even injury forced in most cases. I know Gallego was out, but it wasn't injury forced. Initially you would think that he wanted to find his first team, but half the season went in finding it was almost like he had a 40 game season and he was taking 1/4 of the season to figure out, and then he would storm the league in the last 30 matches. But this season will finish by the time he would have found his best team. So I wasn't fully impressed. Plus I also have a sort of dislike of people who sound very narcissistic on camera. Noose became like that. Noose, when he was doing well, he was very upfront. He was very, he had that swag. But then you could see he was very deflated and he wasn't responding well to questions either by the end of it. So although I'm not impressed by the way he's gone, I also think there was merit in sort of looking elsewhere or correcting his ways. But I agree with Sandeep in the sense that it's a ridiculous situation to do this. And United are right up there with all this sham. I mean, that club is very poorly run.
Well, Sandeep, Noose is gone. Jameel is back. Do you see Northeast just whipping out something miraculous like Aizwal? I'm just throwing it out there.
You never know with Jameel because, look, Jameel has this ability to get into the Indian players and get maximum out of them. And we've seen this in both Mumbai, where he had a lower level of talent, and in Aizawl, where he managed to get the best out of not just Indians, but the foreigners also. Who, if you look at it beyond that season in Aizawl, where they all peaked, have not really been successful since. And look at it today in a very... fortuitous way, I think that's the way you pronounce that word, is that Ashutosh Mehta scored his first goal. Ashu is Khalid's boy. For him to be the first guy to score once Khalid Jamil took over was poetic justice, I feel. So I think you can expect the team to do well. I mean, again, he is a very... he's a coach who's able to go there and say, okay, you know what? I'm just going to play for a 1-1 draw here. I'll try and win that game over there because that team has more injuries or they'll be playing within after 2 days, 3 days. Very calculated, very, very defensively organized. And his team will stay in the game until the late 80, 85 minutes and then try to nick a goal. And they've always managed to, you know, sort of put noses out of joints of big teams, whether he was in Mumbai or whether he was at Aizawl. So I just feel this underdog sort of a team is perfect for Khalid, because when he took over a team like East Bengal, which is supposed to be, you know, a champion team and is supposed to challenge for title, have to deal with egos of not just people on the field, but also off the field, in the boardrooms and things. He was not the most charismatic guy in that sense, but every single player who plays for him will absolutely give everything for him. He's a player's manager of that sort. That's what I've heard from every single player who has played under him. So I feel like that top four is there for the taking, right? They just need to put in a half-decent run, not even like a decent run, half-decent run, because the rest of the teams around them are equally inconsistent.
Well, guys, that's all on this episode of Injury Time. I hope you all had a great time. You can find us on all the social media platforms. Our handle is Injury Time, IND. Until we bring you the next episode of this beautiful show, have a great time and enjoy the game.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.